providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
All right, welcome back here to wrap up the weekend edition of the KE Report. I'm wrapping up the weekend edition with Ivan Bebek. Now, everybody remembers Ivan as the past, I guess, executive chairman of Orin Resources. Orin Resources has since gone through a, let's call it a split, a spin out of the Peruvian projects, and a rename and a refocus as Fury Gold Mines. We are going to be focusing a lot on what's going on in Peru, because I've been getting a number of emails and questions from existing shareholders of both of these companies, which are unlisted, as to what some of the updates are. So the two companies in Peru, Tier 1 Metals, Ivan is the chairman of Tier 1 Metals, and Sombrero, he is the CEO of Sombrero. Let's start with Tier 1 Metals here, Ivan. I know that the listing is scheduled for Q1 of next year, but what can investors expect? What are they looking at here for some of the fundamentals of Tier 1 Metals when it does come publicly traded?
Hi, Corey. Great. Thanks to have me back on your show. And it's been quite the whirlwind, as you've pointed out. The transformational event was substantial, but you know, the one theme that we're seeing, and you'll hear it today, is all of these opportunities are getting much better than they were prior to us doing the split, including the price of the commodities, copper being, you know, at 7-year highs, almost $3.40 a pound, and gold, you know, it's been through its volatility lately, but I think that's an incredibly good sign for what's to come ahead for those metals. So Tier 1 is rapidly working towards completing the targeting on the Curibaya project. We impressed ourselves in the market with the initial sampling, which was multi-kilo silver over about a 4 square kilometer area. That is expanded now. We've sampled a lot more, both really high-grade silver and high-grade gold. That expands that footprint. We've learned about the system. Originally, we were, you know, really excited about a really good epithermal silver-gold target. And what we found out about it so far was a couple key factors. One is we've done geophysics. We're completing our magnetics. It's telling us what might be underneath the surface. We've found a major structural component to the actual silver and where we think the silver is going to coalesce and where there could be a very high-grade silver deposit. We've identified this as a lithocap, which means we're high up in the system. But very impressively, we think we're onto a world-class porphyry target beside or beneath the precious metals, which is very common in these type of systems. And, you know, the information is coming in as early as yesterday, and it'll be more final in the next 2 weeks. There'll be a press release explaining all of this. But, you know, if you dreamt about a world-class silver target, I think now you can add a major porphyry target to that. And the word preserved comes up a lot with the geologist, meaning we're above the system, we're not exposed, the system has not eroded away. So I think where I originally stood with Curibaya was, wow, exciting multi-kilo silver and up to 43 gram gold on these veins over a pretty substantial area, which was about 4 square kilometers, that has now gotten about 50% bigger. And then learning, once we got a peek at the geophysics and the magnetics, which are about to complete here, we're starting to see a major porphyry target. And the last thing I'll point out about Curibaya, which is substantial, is there is the age dating of the rocks and the intrusions is the same as those world-class porphyry deposits along the belt. This is the first ever Eocene epithermal system, meaning precious metal system, that's been dated that age in this part of Peru. So Curibaya is something new. It does make, and you will see this in the next few weeks, it does make the world-class opportunity status for both precious and base metals. And it's going to be, I think, comparatively as interesting on a perspective as Sombrero, definitely as interesting as Fury, you know. And so it's really come together way better than we thought it would. We had early inclinations this could be a very robust system for precious metals. And now we see that being also for base metals, which, as you know, copper has been on fire.
Yeah, copper had a very key breakout this week. But Ivan, I know a lot of people are wondering about permits, actually getting drills on site. What updates can you give us in terms of the permitting?
So that's a great question. And in this part of Peru, we're blessed with a lot better permitting process. And we're also blessed with the fact that the community is very, very much in favor of our presence. And I think we're going to see drill permits in hand early Q1. And our plan to relist is actually February. So within 2 months from today and a couple of weeks of that being for the holidays, we're not far from coming back trading. And we think we'll have about a month before we actually turn drills. But we're very mature in the stages of reaching that drill permit. So drill permits will be in hand about a few weeks after we relist in early February.
So in terms of future news or even news before the actual listing, do you guys still have a lot of surface work, a lot of targeting work to do, or is this thing pretty much drill ready?
So where we stand there is we're in the last week of completing all of that work. We have not fed the market or investors with updates along the way because the system needed to complete before we knew exactly what we're dealing with. And we wanted to come out with one strong targeting model. And you will see that in the next couple of weeks. You're also going to see an acquisition of another asset. One of our colleagues has been after for about 9 years. He's our country manager, has been really keen on this asset. And we've reviewed it. Technically, we are looking to complete an acquisition there before year end. And it's something that would be comparatively interesting to Sombrero's Best Day and or Curibaya's Best Day. So it's another world-class swing. We're really looking at making sure Curibaya and Tier 1 Metals has the opportunity, much like Orin did, to deliver on multiple assets offering really high-quality silver and gold opportunities as well as copper opportunities on the coast of Peru in areas where obtaining community permit and drill permits is very favorable. And that's been an underground or an underlining feature for all of the things we're doing here. So expect a lot of news by year end, a lot of podcasts in January before we relist in February. I'm always asked, what's your favorite one of the three that you've spun? I like them all, as I would like three children. If I was to choose children, I would choose all three at the same time. But where I stand right now is blown away by what's happening at Curibaya. The technical team, the board is equally of that opinion. And I can't wait until these press releases come out here in the next 2 weeks prior to year end. And then that's it. Tier one is close. It got way better. There's more coming. It covers really, really high quality, world-class precious metal silver, silver gold targets, as well as porphyry targets on one of the most prolific trends in all of Peru and globally for major discoveries.
Okay, so a lot of news that we will follow up on. One final point for Tier 1, what's in the treasury? What are you expecting in terms of money and what will be needed to get your feet on the ground, get a drill on the ground?
Great question there. We have about $4 million is what we started with. We're not spending all of that. We actually can coast through the end of next year on a G&A basis and complete our near-term work that we want to complete. However, that doesn't include capital for drilling. So once we reveal all the acquisitions we're going to do, and once we show you and everyone else how good the targeting really came together, how big these opportunities, I classified them as world-class, and I can't wait to justify those with the scale and the opportunities in the press releases. Then we'll look at doing a bit of a top-up to the treasury. We'll have that discussion probably mid-late January once all the news is out, and we will do much like in the fashion of Orin financings. We'll try to align ourselves with very strategic investors to drive the business plan forward and finance at a very favorable market price that respects the opportunity as well as the current anti-dilutive theme of all of our funding. So I think we're going to be in a very strong position to finance going into one of the best points of our market from a seasonal perspective. Our launch will be in February, and I think it's going to come out really, really strong.
Okay, let's move over to Sombrero now. I know Sombrero, the listing is planned a little bit later than Tier 1 Metals, but it is still planned relatively early next year, late Q1, maybe early Q2 of next year. What updates can you give us for the Sombrero spinout, please?
So Sombrero is, as we've described, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, to go find another Las Bambas just in 10% of the land position, just as a reminder. And when you see copper at 340, my phone is blowing up with a lot of keen interest on seeing Sombrero trading with permits in hand. You know, it's coming listing about a month to 2 months after Tier 1 starts trading. And we have adjusted our approach. We'll be a lot more public about it early Q1 so that we can drill everything versus just the first target that has gotten everyone so excited. We're working through additional community access so we can resume trenching, which is now allowed in Peru. And we have a pretty ambitious plan to get drill permits on a series of targets starting about a month or two after Sombrero starts trading. There was a couple companies which just received Consulta Previas. This is the social consulting permit in Ayacucho. There's been a lot of, you know, interesting politics that's gone on with the current president or impeachment. And, you know, there's been a bit of a reorganization politically in Peru that a lot of people were concerned about. You know, relative to what we're doing, we have not seen a slowdown. We've seen the vice mine minister take over for the mine minister. We've seen a lot of continuity there. We see the ambition, and I'm not sure if it's because COVID was so impactful on economically, but we've seen a lot of ambition and theme towards working on shortening the timelines for all of us exploring down in Peru. So I think that we're in really good shape. I think we're going to come out really strong with a lot more than we were planning to offer shareholders previously at Sombrero, meaning we're going to shorten the long-term timeline of revealing much more of the district in a much more clever way. And I think that's something we can all look forward to. It started with $8 million. That was the treasury at the end of October. That treasury is barely being spent because we're obviously not doing much work yet. But we will have a plethora of updates in Q1 ahead of the listing. And, you know, in this copper environment or the one that's coming, I think it's going to be one that the global investing market around copper is going to pay attention due to the scale of the opportunity, which, you know, we think has gotten a lot better since we've originally talked about it as early as spring of this year. So it's something that's going to impress again, as it has continuously previously.
Okay, so Sombrero, a very different focus than what's going on in Tier 1 metals, but also going for these world-class deposits. What about any sort of land access agreements or permits for Sombrero as well?
So it could be a pretty good update there before year end, but I think in Q1 will be the thick of that news prior to resuming trading. We'll likely be in an extremely positive position to go and, you know, update everyone and have permits, if not in hand, close enough to being in hand that we'd be weeks away to start drilling. So that's coming along at its own pace, but it's coming along in a very positive direction from the way we were handling it prior. And we've just, you know, had a chance to do more and to have more positive impact during COVID. And a lot of people in the neighboring communities have all asked for us to be involved. And we plan to sign agreements with everyone and set ourselves up to drill everything. And that's more of the size opportunity. And I think when you mention the difference between Sombrero and Tier 1, everybody knows about Sombrero. Nobody knows about Tier 1 yet. Everybody will be educated on Tier 1 as we develop that asset base properly between now and when we resume trading. So, you know, I think Tier 1 will be as compelling. It will have that precious metal start, but also the big copper porphyry look as well. And I think both will be, you know, opportunities as an investor that will be well worth the wait, well worth the headache of what we've just went through. And I think everybody will have a chance to thrive and win on both of those opportunities the same way they would have on the original plan of Orin delivering a 10 to 20 time the share price kind of return. That's what we're really after. And they're both shaping up really well with the commodity market to deliver those returns.
All right, Ivan, I do want to bring in Fury now just for a trading perspective here. Now, Fury is traded on the TSX and the NYSE under the symbol FURY. It has been noted that there is a fairly large short position, about 1 million shares short, and there was a bit of a short attack that happened on Fury when it was first listed. Relating this to some of these Peruvian projects and companies, when they become listed, what insights can you give us on the short position in Fury and what that could mean for some of these Peru plays?
Well, it's interesting you bring that up. And a few investors have brought several slanted articles that have been written about Fury intentionally, you know, when it came out trading, pushing negativity and confusion. First point I'll make is Fury's trading well below the fundamental value of the existing assets at 1350 gold, never mind today's current gold price, right? And yes, I understand the deal was confusing and there's a re-rate we're looking for. I think a lot of investors have forgotten our ability to perform well above our peers. You know, pointing back to Orin was trading at 0.98 net asset value, where the peer group trades at 0.54 when we went to go and buy East Main's assets, right? The second point I'll make is there's no mystery that there's a fatigue or frustration with the shareholders of East Main. They drilled 1 million ounces over 25 years. And I think that the shorting crowd had taken liberties of the confusion of the deal, the election, as well as the frustration of how that asset was managed prior to us coming along. So we inherited a great opportunity, but we inherited a lot of frustrated investors. So we've met several of them, right? What's more important and what we should all be thinking about and asking the question of is, how's drilling going? It's going amazing. You know, when you drill a hole, you can look at and see the right rock, or you can see rock that has no chance. And the rock we've been seeing has been above what we expected. We're seeing more and more targets, as you saw in our last press release, that this thing could really grow considerably bigger than we originally thought, which is now the scale factor. But I think the daylighting of the value that comes when we start talking about drilling Homestake and Committee Bay, it's missing from the share price. And I think that as we get results from what we're doing now going into Q1, investors are going to be more than impressed by how really opportunistic this Eau Claire and the surrounding assets are really providing us. And I think Fury's coming together fundamentally much better than we thought, even far better than the market's giving credit for. And, you know, we plan to keep marketing. We have Zoom meetings every week. We're doing constant conferences. And the feedback that we're getting from a series of long-term gold funds does not correlate with the messaging you're seeing on some inexperienced letter writers that don't have mining backgrounds and have specific agendas, whether they be short or what have you. So, you know, I'm extremely excited. I don't mind the current share price performance because I know how the drilling's going and I know what the first quarter looks like for shareholders. So I'd say to everyone, look very forward to a considerable re-rate on the share price in Q1. As Mike Timmins has been mentioning, the case for that's being made with the drill bit, so it's going to be better. Back to Tier 1 and Sombrero, the great question, you've asked it and many have asked us, how do we expect the trading to start on those two companies? Obviously, Fury had a bit of a short attack right out the gate. Well, the good news is we're going to be past the inauguration, hopefully, of the election. We're in a massive upswing for copper. It will be in the seasonal strong point of the year on precious metals as well, being February for Tier 1. But we're not inheriting 35 million shares of investors that have been frustrated with an asset for 25 years. One of Orin's biggest strengths, and this is a massive strength for all three of these companies, is our shareholders. And we have some of the best exploration shareholders in the world. And so I think that when Tier 1 and Sombrero come back trading with our shareholders and the culture of our investments, and once people can see how great these opportunities are coming together at Tier 1 in this environment of commodities as well as Sombrero, I think the trading is going to be entirely opposite to what we endured with Tier 1. But I think come the end of Q1, all three companies are going to be trading in that premium range because they're going to offer more than you'll see across the marketplace. You're going to see the scale come out of each one. You're going to see the excitement that we've been able to deliver. And this time we're going to be drilling, which should be able to sustain that. And those world-class discoveries we've all dreamed about as shareholders will finally be at the forefront of coming to fruition. So extremely exciting. I think a very strong first quarter for both Peruvian companies. I look forward to the news that's pending on Tier 1 Metals and to the updates we'll provide in Q1 for Sombrero. And I can't wait to see the drill results that are currently being drilled at Fury in early Q1 as we plan to re-rate ourselves considerably.
All right, Ivan, we're going to wrap it up there. If anybody has any questions on any of the companies we have discussed here, please email me, fleck@kereport.com. That goes for any of the guests that I have or any of the companies that I have highlighted throughout the week on daily editorials. Everybody, I hope you're having a great weekend. For all of our listeners down in the U.S., I hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving. And, well, looking forward to moving through December, getting this year behind us, and seeing what 2021 holds. Everybody, again, thanks for joining me this weekend. Ivan, thank you for your time. I hope everybody has a great rest of their weekend.
Thank you so much.